In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Greetings, brothers and sisters, on this feast day of the meeting of the Lord. And in this feast, we celebrate this event that took place where Joseph and Mary bring Jesus to the temple, the baby Jesus to the temple, after 40 days from his birth, in order to receive the circumcision in order to be purified. You know, they made an offering. They're supposed to ideally offer a lamb, but the Mary and Joseph were very poor, so they just offered two turtle doves. That's the most that they could afford. And in a way, in the liturgical year, you know, now this is 40 days from the Nativity, and so this really kind of, it stands as sort of a turning point, kind of a it links us back to the Nativity. We think about the birth of Christ once more at this feast. But then also, we look ahead now to the beginning of Great Lent. You know, so it's kind of right on the pinnacle of those two things. Now, Mary and Jesus did not need to go to the temple in terms of the law, because Mary was virgin before giving birth to Christ and virgin after giving birth to Christ. And so she didn't have any of the kind of, uncleanness that's associated with giving birth normally, you know. And as one of the saints put it, it's kind of like when the sun shines through a crystal and, you know, the rays go out, it doesn't affect the crystal, you know. So in a way, Christ, God, you know, became incarnate without affecting the crystal, you know, which is the Mother of God. So, yet, there's a reason that they did this, because if Mary and Joseph had not come to the temple, and if Christ hadn't permitted this to happen, then they would not have really fulfilled the law, you know. So, they willingly did this for our sakes, just to fulfill the law, so that they, you know, everybody would recognize that, okay, this is, you know, ever done all properly according to the law. Because, after all, who gave the law? You know, it was God to begin with. So God fulfills his own law. And at that time, also, this is when Archpriest Zechariah, who is the father of St. John the Forerunner, was on duty in the temple, and he placed Mary not in the temple area reserved for women, but rather in the area reserved for virgins. And this very much offended the scribes and the Pharisees, and that's one of the primary reasons why they hated Zacharias, and why eventually he was killed, between the altar, and they slew him. And at this time also, the scribes and the Pharisees told Herod about this baby that was presented to the temple. And of course, Herod, you know, was already angry at the wise men and everything, and so he sent soldiers to try to kill Christ. And yet, by God's providence, you know, they went back to Nazareth, and from there they went into Egypt, and then waited until Herod died, and then they, you know, they came back. So, also, this is a very ancient feast. It was celebrated in the very earliest centuries. In particular, though, at the time of the Emperor Justinian, which was around the 5th century approximately, there was a time when there was a great plague in Constantinople, and many thousands and thousands of people were dying daily from this horrible plague. And then at the same time, over in Antioch, there were earthquakes, and they were just destroying everything. Even one bishop was killed when the temple, you know, the Christian church that they built, it collapsed on him, and he died in the rubble. So all these calamities were going on, and this righteous man was at prayer, and he was inspired to go and tell the patriarch and the emperor that they should celebrate this feast to the meeting of the Lord. And so they did this, and all of a sudden, all the plagues immediately stopped, all the earthquakes immediately stopped. And so Justinian, the emperor, said, okay, that's it. From here on forth, we're making this a really big feast, you know, numbered among the 12 great feasts. And so ever since then, it's been, you know, observed by our church. Also, St. Simeon himself was really one of the first to recognize Christ and his mother from the people of Israel by holding the divine infant in his arms. And as the sacred tradition and our holy fathers have told us, Simeon was one of the 72 translators recruited by the Egyptian emperor Ptolemy II in the 3rd century BC to translate the Hebrew scriptures into the Greek language at the famous Library of Alexandria. So this is what we know now as the Septuagint, you know, which is the Old Testament that was translated from Hebrew into Greek. And I remember this took place somewhere approximately 200 to 300 years before Christ was even born. Okay, so here's Simeon, you know, working away translating, and he was his particular task was the prophecy of Isaiah. So he's translating the books of Isaiah, and he came across the passage: "A virgin shall conceive and bear a son." And thinking this must be a mistake, since virgins do not normally bear children, he was about to correct this to read "a young woman" instead. However, an angel of the Lord appeared, held back his hand, and explained to him that the word virgin was correct, and in fact, that he himself would not taste death until he had personally witnessed this. So Saint Simeon, therefore, lived a righteous life, awaiting for the coming of the Messiah, and on this day, some 300 years from that day in Egypt, the prophecy of the angel was fulfilled. So it's, you know, it might seem kind of remarkable because most of us don't live to be 300 years old in our times. However, remember, Methuselah lived to be well over 900 years old, and when we read in many of the figures in the Old Testament before the flood, you know, lived to a great old age, you know, centuries and centuries. So this is not definitely not unheard of and not unusual. And finally, this meeting of the Lord in the temple has also a spiritual significance for us. You know, every soul is called, as it were, to be a temple of God to which Mary brings Jesus. And each of us should therefore seek to, you know, receive the Christ child in our arms, as it were, like Simeon, and say, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And having seen and touched the Savior, we are released from the hold that sin has on us, and in peace can leave the realm of evil. And so really, brothers and sisters, this is the purpose of our Christian faith and the purpose of the temple, really. Because, you know, they didn't meet Jesus out in the desert someplace or, you know, downtown by the market. They met him in the temple. You know, Simeon and Anna met, you know, Joseph and Mary and Jesus in the temple. And so it's really in the temple that we meet Jesus. And of course, you know, in the big picture, the temple is also an image of the body of Christ, the mystical and spiritual body of Christ, which is what the church really is. So the church is, we typically tend to think, well, there's the Methodist church and there's the Catholic church and there's the Presbyterian, you know, and all these different churches. But that's not really what the church is in its fullness. The church is the spiritual body of Christ upon earth. And yet we have a temple set up to enhance our worship and to help us, and especially because here's where we serve the divine liturgy and we partake of the Holy Communion. So it's really in receiving that Holy Communion that we come in direct contact, you know, regularly with our Savior. And so, yet at the same time, we also need to be faithful like righteous Simeon and the prophetess Anna in waiting and being patient, even if it takes a long time, you know, so that this will be fulfilled in us. So let us, brothers and sisters, strive to emulate this event in our own spiritual life, that we can yearn to meet Christ, so that when we come to church, it's not just for some lame reason, it's to meet Christ. That's why we're here, you know. So let us, you know, reflect on that and pray that Christ our God will reveal to us that greater meaning, so that our spiritual lives will have much greater richness and truth in it. Glory be to our God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.